It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
There he is, Phil Goff, Mayor of Auckland. Good morning.
G'day, Mikey. How you going?
Good, good. You had a big night last night, didn't you?
Oh, at Mungaree, yeah. There's a big crowd of people there. I'd say 300 or 400 people packed out the Mungaree Bridge Town Hall. And not surprisingly, look, hey, if I was living down there and was having to put up with people partying, drinking, you know, unfortunately, they go out in the causeway and the sounds echo right around the bay. And waking people up at, you know, 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, it's not a fair go. And I'm absolutely sympathetic to trying to get a stronger police enforcement of the alcohol liquor ban and the parking ban that we've put in place there. You know, you can put the bans in place, but if you're not enforcing them, it doesn't impact.
You're very careful when you say stronger police enforcement. Does that mean, what are you trying not to say there?
Well, what I'm trying not to do is say that I've got the power to direct the police. So yeah. They've got what's called constabulary independence. So they've got to set their own priorities. And I go out regularly with the police, and I know you're looking at the computer screen and you're out in the squad car, and you know there's a domestic violence thing here and the woman's there on the street and there's a guy with a knife. That's always going to take priority over somebody making loud noise from their car. But I think Mungaree Bridge is a hot spot. I think it does need that level of enforcement. I've been in discussion with the police yesterday. They say, yeah, look, they realise they need to do more. They've got to give a higher priority to it. And, I think the residents have got a case that they want to see something done to enforce the liquor ban. We've got a liquor ban right over that waterfront area. So, the powers are there to confiscate liquor, to fine people for having liquor, and to move them on. And I know police have got a lot on their plate, but I think that's an area that greater priority needs to be given to.
I mean, there's people gathering all over the place in places they shouldn't in Auckland every weekend, sometimes every week during the weekdays as well. But, I mean, this has escalated to a point now where, like you say, 300 or 400 people had a town meeting about it.
Yes.
And called the mayor and they're worried about their children, they're worried about the condition of smashed glass in the area. And just last weekend there was a shooting no less.
Yeah, and the shooting means that the situation has escalated up, although, you know, what the police say to me, and I think they're right, that shooting could have taken place anywhere in Auckland. It wasn't specific to this area. But
is that what they said?
Yeah. I mean, look, if you look at there's been 2 shootings in Otara in the last 6 months. And
I was going to say, bet your 100 bucks wouldn't happen on Hobson Street.
Yeah, well, it can happen anywhere,
yeah.
And we've seen it happen anywhere. And, you know, when you've got a firearm involved, the situation automatically escalates up to being a very serious one. But look, all of us in our younger days, we probably went down the beach with a dozen beer in the back of the car and had a few beers, and strictly speaking, we shouldn't have been there.
Oh, yeah.
But these guys are running boom boxes and music playing, really loud at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, and that's not a fair go. People do have the right.
And even I can remember on the North Shore, we got moved along by the riot police before there was a shooting.
Well, fortunately with the shooting, that's a small but serious part of our criminal life. If you're in the United States and you look at the tens of thousands of people that die,
I guess what I mean is it's a situation where whoever pulled out a gun did it with the confidence that there weren't going to be cops around, surely. Or do you think it was? I mean, I'm just.
Presuming. I don't know. We're both speculating, I guess, Mikey. But any fool that's got a loaded gun in a car is looking for trouble, and any fool that fires it into another vehicle, and in this case, injured the person in that vehicle, they'll get the book thrown at them, and rightly so.
Right.
At the most serious end of offending. When you fire a shotgun or a rifle, you fire a firearm at somebody, You are being absolutely reckless.
Oh, you ramp up the trouble then. Don't worry about that.
No. About their survival, yeah. So anyway, look.
So what came out of the meeting? Did you just sort of have to say, yes, we'll do something about it, we'll do the best we can?
No, the important thing, I think, was to have the police there and the area commander there listening, taking on board what people were saying. We're going to make sure that we've got a joined-up approach, because some people were rightly complaining that, you know, sometimes you ring noise control and noise control say, oh, they're drinking alcohol out of cars, we can't do anything about it, call the police, and you call the police and the police say, get in touch with noise control.
Well, some of the comments that I heard from the meeting were people saying, you know, they ring the council says it's a police problem, they ring the police say it's a council problem.
And I understand how absolutely frustrating that is. The truth of the matter is our noise control people have got limited powers. They can't arrest. And they're not going to wade into a group of 15 people sitting there drinking and playing loud music. They need police enforcement, and the police understand that. But what you don't want to have is people being referred from one agency to the other. You've got to have a joined-up approach. There's serious noise there. Noise control needs to be talking to the police, and it needs to be a joint operation. And probably you're not going to send one or two constables down there to sort it out if you've got 15 people that have been drinking heavily for some hours. You're going to need a major show of force in order to deal with that situation.
Right. Okay. So do you think something was achieved? Having the meeting was a good idea, or do you think?
No. I think it was absolutely the right thing to do. The first part of the meeting, I guess, was people venting about how pissed off they were about how this was affecting their lifestyle, and understandably
feeling like they hadn't been heard.
Yeah. I just think they were fed up with it. They wanted something done about it. The second part of the meeting started to turn to, well, you know, what are the sort of things that we can do? And, you know, there are a range of options. Maybe you turn that part of the roadway, you know, let the causeway out to the old Mungaree Bridge into a park, and then you can close it off. But not everybody was unanimous about having that gated in the early hours of the morning. I mean, that would obviously stop the problem of the cars being out in the causeway. But then somebody says, well, look, I'm a boatie and I go out depending on the tide, and I could be out there at 4 o'clock, and you're telling me you're going to close the gate. So there's not one size fits all, and that makes everybody happy. But what I want to do is make sure that we've got our Auckland Transport people, our council people, our police, our residents association, and key members of the local community working together to test out what other ideas will work in order to constrain this problem, because it does need to be dealt with.
Right on. Okay, now let's talk about Eden Park. This is becoming a bit of a pain in the ass, isn't it? because it wasn't that many months ago, we're talking about a brand new stadium, maybe down at the waterfront, and then we're talking about zhushing up this and spritzing up that, and now this is just looking like it's just going to get, this is like a bruise that's getting worse and worse, turning into a hematoma.
Well, what you've got, everybody's got their hand out for more money, it just goes with the job. And the truth of the matter is, you've got to prioritise. I've said right from the start, I'd love to have a downtown stadium, but I don't have the money, and I can't give the priority to building one. The first priority in terms of infrastructure investment is going to have to be in our transport system, our housing services system, so that houses can become... we can build more houses and they're more affordable, and in cleaning up our environment. So are we in a position to build a downtown stadium? Well, you know, maybe if the private sector said they'd meet all the costs and they can do that, good luck to them. I'm very happy about that. But I can't give priority to it. And then Eden Park comes along, and Eden Park is in some financial difficulties. It's effectively not putting any money aside for depreciation, which means they've got no money to do up basic capital upgrades like lighting and turf. And they say, well, you know, we'd like $106 million. Well, I'm sorry, we don't own you, Eden Park. Yeah. We don't manage you.
How do they even get in a position where they can just ask for that?
Well, the first thing they can ask for is back in 2010, at the time the city was set up and the city was preparing for the Rugby World Cup.
All very nice at the time, Phil.
Yeah, you know? The city guaranteed a $40 million loan. That loan expires in September.
Hasn't been paid back?
The Eden Park is in no position to pay it back.
And shut it down.
We've said to Eden Park, no, we need Eden Park there for the next 10, 15 years at least. And we've said, okay, well, we'll give you...
But none of it's going to bleed money out of the city that could be spent elsewhere, you know?
No, but just hear me out on this. There are some people that say, gift the money, you know, and some of the trustees that say, gift us the money. No bloody way, but we will advance a loan to you on a commercial basis, provided we've got security that that loan is secured over the value of the land that exists at Eden Park, because we're not going to have the ratepayer bail an organisation out and then find that the organisation folds up in 10, 15 years' time and the money goes to particular groups, you know, like Auckland Cricket or Auckland Rugby.
What's the big hold-up? What's the big problem with having concerts there?
The problem they have under the Auckland Unitary Plan the ability to have up to six concerts a year, but they have to apply for separate resource consent each time that comes up.
Are there difficulties about keeping the pitch?
Oh no.
Quality right? Okay, no, so it's not that.
The problem is there will be objection within the local neighbourhood from those people that don't want concerts there. Look, Eden Park has the ability to take a case to the Environment Court to say we want to hold six concerts a year, and you know, these are the constraints that we will work under, but we need to be able to have that facility if we are to stop losing money hand over.
Why haven't they done that so far? Because of residents' complaints?
No. The reason they haven't done that is I think. They hadn't thought of doing that. They have the ability to do it. It doesn't depend on
maybe
council.
Maybe should have thought about that before they asked you for the $60 million.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they may well make the decision that they're going to apply for that. It would be determined independently by the Environment Court. There's no political interference in that process. Council's the regulator, so council keeps right out of that process. It doesn't it doesn't make submissions for or against it. And the Environment Court then determines whether it's appropriate for them to organise concerts on that basis. And that's what I think Eden Park will ultimately do, but we don't control them. They're their own people.
They should stop asking for money. That's what I say, Phil.
Yeah, well, look, you know...
But I'm not the mayor.
Yeah. I'm keen on protecting the interests of the ratepayer. That's my first responsibility. We need Eden Park for international games, and I don't want to see the thing become insolvent. I don't want to see the thing collapse. But I do want to protect the ratepayers' interests. So my approach on this will be we'll give what assistance is needed to keep Eden Park going for as long as we need to have Eden Park there. But we need the ratepayers' payments to you to be secured, to get a commercial rate of return, and to be protected in the event that the Eden Park Trust Board is wound up. Because we're not going to just grant the money and say, here's a handout. Now, look, some councillors disagree with me. Some councillors say, no, give them a handout. That's fine. That's their opinion. It's not my opinion.
All right, Phil, thank you very much. We'll speak to you again this time next week. Thanks very much for talking to us. Phil Goff, Mayor of Auckland. Thank you.
Good as gold. Cheers, mate. Bye.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.